Amen. Let's be honest. What do we really believe? That's kind of the main point. Those of you who come up here for the song, praise lights turned off. You can turn them on. They got on the clip. Public image. I am concerned about the poor people. And whatever we can do to help them, we ought to. But the scriptures goes on to say, he didn't care a thing about poor people. He was a thief and was helping himself to the money that came into the treasury. So his public image was one thing, but that's not who he really was. You know, in our Old Testament reading, when Eve told the serpent, God told us not to even touch the fruit or we will die. She was building this public image of her and Adam that they were so holy and righteous that they wouldn't even come close to touching that fruit. I mean, you know, there's a temptation for us as Christians to pretend we are walking closer to God than we really are. We say the right words to make people think we are more holy than we truly are. It's like during the week of prayer, when we have our week of prayer. When we tell people, you know, holy week, our church is sponsoring a week of prayer. Now, what did they think when you said that? Wow, they're going to a week of prayer. They're really walking close to God. Well, what if you had been honest and said, our church is sponsoring a week of prayer, and they ain't got no intention of meeting us according to a single one of those people? So as to boost our public image.
All right, now.
The second form of believing we do is when we actually believe something is true, but later circumstances reveal that belief is not what we thought it was. For instance, anybody here ever have a crush on somebody? You sincerely believe that person is the one. That person got it. God, if I can spend the rest of my life with that girl, whoa!
Yes, sir.
I didn't find out. That person was not what she thought. He or she was. And not only are you not interested in spending your life with them, if they backed up and moved to Antarctica, you could care less. But praise you one minute. Now, Adam and Eve, they sincerely believe that if they ate from this fruit of the tree, they would become just like God. And at that moment, nobody could have told them anything differently. Sometimes we have made up our minds and we say, I believe this is it. This is what I'm going to do, and nobody is going to stop me. We can be sincere in what we believe and genuinely believe we are taking the right step. But circumstances later on will come to have us believe that belief was a mistake. That decision was a bad one. And we started to wish we had listened to the advice of others. Now, the third form of believing is what we base our daily lives on. By looking at me long enough and following after me for a long enough period of time, you can tell what I really believe. You can tell what I really accept as fact. Because my actions are going to line up with what I really believe. Now, one of the things we believe in more than Jesus, even though we've never seen it, we've never touched it. We've never tasted it. We all believe in it. It's called gravity. Because we believe in gravity, there are some things we simply do not even try. For instance, if you were on the fifth floor of a building, and you were late for an appointment, and you looked out the window, and you saw your car right there, what's the quickest way to get to your car? All you gotta do is get out that window and swoosh. But most of us ain't going to do that. Even though we are in a hurry, we are going to go across the room, find the door, go down the steps, or go down the elevator, and waste 5 minutes. couple here and expect it to be here when I get back. I know where it's going. I have never once gone outside, looked up at the sun and said, man, when I jump, I sure hope I don't reach the sun this time. Don't do it. Why? Because I got this belief in gravity that even though it didn't tell me not to do it, I know I can trust gravity to hang on to me. And I don't care how tired we are, how sleepy we are, none of us say, I think I'll just fall asleep right here and start that. Because if we do it once, nobody will have to tell us not to do it again. So this belief that I have in gravity, it affects my whole view of life. This is the kind of belief that I call my game plan. Every one of us has a game plan in which we see the world and we believe the world acts in this kind of a way. Now, the funny thing about beliefs is that I am not the best judge of what I believe. You are not the best judge of what you believe. What you need is somebody looking at you from the outside who watch you and they can tell you, here is exactly what you believe. Now, some of us, they would say, when they see us, you see, one of the reasons we are not a good judge of what we believe is we rationalize our behavior. I wouldn't have told her off like I told her off if she hadn't got on my last nerve in the first place. Now, somebody asked you, are you a Christian? You say, yeah, I'm a Christian. What would that person say to observing you? Is a Christian until someone gets on their last nerve and they go it all out the window. What we really believe is determined by our actions. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be if we had to stand up and recite the Apostles' Creed and actually be honest about it? It would go something like this. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, who is not worthy of me spending 2 hours a week with to pray, to talk, or to attend church. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, born of the Virgin Mary, who does not have the right to tell me how to live my life once I leave the church. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried for me. But he better not expect me to make any sacrifices whatsoever on his behalf. I will tell off who I want to tell off. I will give when I feel like giving. If I do not want to do my part, then the others just have to take up the slack of it. If I can't or not, if I got to be, they better be there. Not only that, he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. With me being the exception, God knows how. I intend to one day get serious about serving God, but until then, God should not judge me. But I prefer gossip over sharing the word of God. That's my business. Now, how many of you know I'm not that far off about what we truly believe? Do we want to be honest about what we believe? Never thought about writing what you believe based on what you do? Think about it for a moment. What's the most favorite thing you have that you do? What causes you to get the greatest emotion and excitement? Somebody? Some person? Where is it that you spend your money as quickly as you can get it? Now, if you take these things and compare them to your relationship to God, where do you come out? After all, we say, our purpose is to what? Enter into a right relationship with God. Now, those are the words we say, but do our actions betray our words? If most of us was honest, including myself, we really don't want to get in a closer relationship with God. Because deep inside, we know it's going to cost something to do it. And most of us don't want to pay it. A couple of weeks ago, I was jogging, and I noticed this huge section of a tree. It was a huge limb, about this big around, had come crashing to the ground. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I don't remember it raining last night. I don't remember hearing the wind and all of that. So I'm trying to figure out, how in the world did this great big limb just fall? And green leaves all over the place. And then I noticed again when I looked at the tree that it was mostly hollow inside. Now, it had a great public image of being alive and beautiful, but there was hardly anything inside. And immediately I asked God, I said, God, please don't let me be like that tree. So busy building a public image, but empty on the inside from not really getting to know God. And I fear for us as a church that we can be doing so much on the outside without allowing God to work in our hearts and in our relationships with each other. You see, it's not the activities that we do for Jesus as much as the changing we allow Jesus to do in us. If we are not more loving and more forgiving of one another, all this stuff we have done, we have accomplished a little bit of nothing. God is not looking to change what we say we believe in the Apostles' Creed. He's not looking for some change of some personal conviction that we believe is right. God is looking to change the game plans in our heart, in our lives. This is what makes it hard to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come for us to simply say, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and now I'm ready to go to heaven. Yes. Why did you accept him when you believed? What kind of believing did you have? Was it a public image thing? Everybody else saying they're going to go forward to accept him, and I'm going to come to church anyways. I guess we'll join the crowd. You did it that way, you're probably still lost. Was it a personal belief that if I do this one thing, heaven is mine for sure, and God is well pleased with me, and I'm just on my way to the kingdom. Mm. If you did, you probably still didn't quite get saved. Mm. Or was it that third form of believing where you came and you knew when you came, you had a game plan. And you was giving God the game plan. See, if you haven't given God the game plan of your life, you can't accept Jesus into yours. Because every time you run into trouble, you got to start reading from your sheet. And God's going to forget that nonsense. That stuff, the way you used to handle things, is out the window. Faith and belief go together.
Yes.
They're always going to produce a change in a person's action. We make the mistake of telling people, put your faith in Christ so you can go to heaven. No, you need to put your faith in Christ so that you can live differently today and tomorrow. We ain't worried about heaven. We talk about a change today and tomorrow. Because if all your faith is in going to heaven, you ain't going to be a whole lot of good to the rest of us left behind. James says that faith without some action behind it is worthless religion. When we Jesus, we don't find somebody that was concerned about their public image. When they tried to make Jesus king, he went and hid. When they wanted to crown him, he went to the mountains. When people came up to him trying to flatter him, he would say, here's the cost of being one of my disciples. Turn most of them away. Jesus wasn't interested in fame and fortune. You know how rich he could have been with all the people he healed? I don't care which one of us it is, if we knew we was about to die something and Jesus said, you got to give me everything you got for this healing, most of us would come out of our pocket in a heartbeat. Now, some of us would try to strike a deal. Jesus wanted us to know that his purpose in coming to this world was to do the will of the Father. When actions came up, his concern was, how would the Father be pleased with what I'm about to do?
Right.
His decision with checking in on the Father was just as automatic as our decision to check in on gravity before we do certain things. And Jesus wanted us to understand the power he wanted to give us was the power to live with each other each and every day. Some of us, we pray, God, give me the power to move mountains. We just need the power to keep our mouths shut. Some of us pray for the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. We need the power to get our attitude back in check. We need the power just to forgive somebody, to just let some things go. You see, Jesus is interested in bringing the kingdom of heaven down to us right where we live. What amazed people about Jesus? Antonio, Aaron, I don't want to have to look at y'all one more time. Period. Don't look at me like you shocked. Now, if you are not in Christ, you are not going to be able to bring heaven down into your situation because it's too hard to do.
Come on now.
What amazed people about Jesus was his public image, his private beliefs, and what he did all lined up. Want to know why they lined up? Because Jesus believed the Father loved him, the Father cared for him, and the Father was by his side at all times. He acted accordingly. One of the problems we suffer from as Christians is we really don't believe in the goodness of our Heavenly Father. We really do not believe that God loves us.
Come on now.
We see it with Adam and Eve. They had everything they needed, but they believed you can trust God up to a point. Then after that, you gotta look out for yourself. So they thought they was missing out on something. And to be completely honest, we believe the same thing. Somehow God is keeping us from a good time. Somehow, I don't know about that God. We say he's good all the time, but we mean he's good. You see, we make the mistake of thinking that God loves us means God is going to help our game plan to work. How many of you know God could give 2 cents about your game plan?
Thank you. Thank you.
You may be thinking you're going in one direction. You don't know what's heading for you tomorrow. We learned in Bible study this week. A day with the Lord is like a
thousand years.
And a thousand years with the Lord is like
a day.
You know what that tells me right there? It tells me I'm going to want some stuff, I'm going to ask God for it, and his timing and my timing are not going to be the same. And I have a choice. I can believe that God will provide this thing for me, or I can say, I don't know what God is up to. I see if I don't put two and two together myself, I might not get this. Now, when I take that route, how many of you know it's just a matter of time before I'm praying, God, would you please help me get myself out of this mess? I've got myself out of the purpose in reading the Bible is to take the principles and apply the principles to our lives. If we're not going to apply it, we We just wasting our time.
Amen.
You know what? I don't care how good of a sermon Pastor Kelly preached, Pastor Toby preached, Pastor Rick preached. You preach at home more than we ever do. And you preach a whole lot better than we do to the people in your house. So no matter what we say, you can go home and chuck it out the window in 2 seconds or less. All because of what you do. Now, they just got through hearing me preach a sermon on gossip. And you amen the whole thing. And it's because, did you hear what someone said? Sometimes we wonder, how come y'all don't want to go to church with me?
Well,
the disciples looked at Jesus and they said, he's got something. We want what he's got because it looks real. They took Jesus' teachings and they started trying them out. They found out that when they were angry with somebody, forgiveness left them with a better feeling than getting revenge.
Yeah.
They found that when they were generous in their giving, they gained more than what they were holding on to in the beginning. They found that loving their enemies was a lot easier to do than walking around with a tight stomach, with a chip on their shoulder, just waiting to smack somebody upside the head. They found that checking in with the Father before doing something was a lot easier when checking in with him, asking him, please get me out of this mess. They found that what Jesus said about life really was true. Recall that day when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And when Jesus taught them how to pray, he didn't include anything in that prayer about going to heaven. He didn't say anything about that. Here's how you get God to give you the desires of your game plan. He said, pray that God's will be done.
Yes.
What if it conflicts with mine? Pray that God's will be done. He told us to pray with the realization that every day we sin. And that every day we need to grant forgiveness to somebody who has sinned against us. Now, most of us as Christians, we don't believe we have sinned every day. We work through our middle checklist at night. Let's see, I didn't do this one, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. Praise God. We forget. There's two ways to sin. First, we're very familiar with doing what you're not supposed to do. Second one is not doing what you were supposed to do. We don't even confess some things because those are the kinds that make us be honest. And those are the kinds that make us see how short we really are. You see how he's interested in rewriting our game plans? You see, if we can trust Jesus with our daily lives, we can trust him with heaven. There's no need to pray about making it in. We already in because we already in him. But if we aren't trusting him, then there's no way we got to jump in right there at the end. A day of fully trusting Jesus can cause us to see things we've never seen before.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you're waiting for something spectacular to happen to be used by God. Sometimes God will just send a person right up to you, and you got the choice of listening to him for a minute or turning your head and pretending like you didn't know it. Next thing you know, you could be in a situation where you pray for this person. If you just open your eyes, I challenge us this month. Try trusting God for the month of July, one day at a time. See what it reveals about yourself. Trust that God loves you. Trust that God is with you. Trust that God has your best interest in heart in the things he has told you to do. And let him rewrite your game plan. In order to live a Christian life, we gotta believe Jesus was right and God loves me. If we don't believe Jesus was right and we don't believe God genuinely loves us, just like Adam and Eve, we're gonna take the easy way out. Trust God enough to say, God, would you write my game plan?
Yes.
Now, if I said, how many of y'all believe you ought to study the Word of God? Some of y'all will have y'all's hands up in a minute. Yeah. Ain't been to Bible study in 10 years. Yeah. So what we really believe is, it's important for other people, but it's not important for me. Those of us who like to get on the phone and gossip.
Jesus.
Have we ever called somebody up and said, let me tell you what God said to me in devotions this week? The person on the other end of the phone would probably have a heart attack. Those of us who still got a problem with our language. Are we willing enough to trust God to go learn Hebrew, Greek, Matsuwaki, so that when you have to say something that you're upset about, what the hell can I talk? Praise God, you got it out. You don't know what you said, but it was a whole lot better than what you asked. Are you trusting God enough to be glad for the time that you still have instead of complaining about what little bit you got left? Here's the big one. Are you willing to trust God enough to change your poor giving habits to the church? Oh, man, he done left the scripture.
Hallelujah. Us,
week after week, nothing. Go to your house, you got a nice living room set. You got a car new in the back. You got a cable with 298 channels.
Whoa.
And tell me in a minute. No, Pastor Baker. No, I ain't been giving like I should. But I'm about to catch up. I ain't even looked at the thing to see where you were, so most of the time you tell it on yourself.
Help us, Lord.
Willing to trust God enough to change your work habits. You know, some of us, we can be working triple overtime, waiting on clients, because we got to get more income. I ain't got time for Bible study, I ain't got time for sisters, I ain't got time for actions. I got to be there for my business. And God has the ability to just send somebody who hasn't heard any of your advertisement or anything else. What were you doing? I just walking down and something told me, stop here. And they can give you more business than all the folks you've been waiting for the whole year round.
Hallelujah.
But it goes back to trusting God. Trusting God to be willing to change your game plan. Next time I get upset, I'm going to remember Jesus got upset too. But I'm going to try to handle it just like you can. You see, my friend, if we can't trust God to bring the kingdom of heaven down into us, to rewrite our game plan, we need to stop deluding ourselves about heaven. Salvation begins right where you are, here today. We just need to be honest with ourselves about our relationship to God. There's no need to get upset with me about anything I said. Because if it didn't pertain to you, it did not pertain to you. But if it pertained to you, it's up to you. can do something about it. You do not say something like this about any of y'all come up and say, what you doing looking in the windows of my house? Praise God. We got cameras everywhere, but not for that purpose. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Because until we are honest about what we really believe, we will not be the church. We will not be the believer that God wants us to be. Amen. God, we confess. We are all guilty.
Yes, Lord.
Of public image display.
Yes, yes.
In one way or another.
Yes, Lord.
And for that, we ask your forgiveness.
Yes, Lord. Forgive.
We ask your forgiveness for saying we believe one thing.
Yes.
And acting in another way.
Yes, Lord.
God, we don't desire to be like that tree laying by the wayside, falling under its own weight because of rot on the inside. Show us all the rot that is in our lives.
Show us the way, Lord. Show us the
rot that is in our hearts.
Yes.
The rot that needs to be carved out.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Take each and every one of our game plans and rewrite it according to your will, your plan, and your purpose for our lives. May we say yes, Lord, yes.
Yes, Lord, yes.
God, if there's one here today that's not trusting you for tomorrow, help them to see you've got a different plan and a purpose for their lives. Help us all to see, oh God, each and every day we sin. Each and every day we need you. Each and every day you've called us to be an example of your love. Help us to believe you really do love us. Amen. If you're not trusting Jesus for your life here on this earth, I want you to know that Jesus died so that you can live differently. Going to heaven is just a bonus. He died for us to live differently here, today, tomorrow. I invite you into a relationship with him. You've been looking for a church to join, and you can call your own. Our doors are open. You can start the membership process here and grow as you grow in your knowledge of God. We're going to all stand to our feet. Those of you who would like to give your life to Christ, we invite you to come forward. I or one of the lay pastors will pray with you. Those of you who will be serving communion, we invite you to come to the front.